We've been looking at some messages and considering some messages. The Lord's just really spoke to my heart about this, of Jesus being the light of the world and the extent to which the Lord is the light of the world. And these things are all known, but I've just never had a time in my life where I've, my saved life, where I put and kind of categorize these things and seeing the different aspects and facets of how the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the light of the world. In Luke chapter 1, Brother Zechariah is there rejoicing over the birth of his son, the promise of the Lord being fulfilled. His tongue has been bound for 9 months. And from the time that he saw the angel, he doubted the word of the Lord. And, you know, let us not doubt the word of our Lord. Let us believe the word of our Lord. What God says is true, and we can rest in it. His tongue is loosed. He's confirmed the name of his son, and it's to be John, even though there's never been a John in their family. That's what the Lord, the angel, carrying the message of the Lord, said that our brother should be named. Remember, John is that man that is saved from his mother's womb. The Spirit of the Lord is not bound. Brother Bobby led us in that song, "My sheep hear my voice." And, you know, that's true. And I pray that sheep would hear the voice of the Lord today. How is a voice heard? By the words that the Lord says, the truth of his word. But the Lord's sheep will hear his voice, and we rejoice in that, and we can rest in that indeed. Brother Zechariah here is praising the Lord. He prophesies, it says in verse number 67 there, and we come to verses number 76, and he says, "Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways," Luke 2:77, "to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins," the payment of their sins by the Lord Jesus, "through the tender mercy of our God, whereby," by this, this is what's happened, "the day spring from on high hath visited us." The day spring, it speaks of the east. And what do you think about when you think about east? Well, it's the sun came up this morning, and we were able to see it a little bit better today than we have in days past. And it's good to be able to see the sun come up in these dreary days of winter. This day spring speaks about the dawn, when the light shines, when the sun shines, or if you will, the Son of God shines. Or it speaks about this day spring, speaks about a rising light, whereby, by this being done by our Lord, the day spring from on high, from heaven, from glory, hath come down here and visited us. To give light, verse number 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Because we didn't know there was a way, and we didn't know that there would be a way to have peace. And he gives light to that, salvation of the soul, remission of sins, and everlasting life with him. This morning we want to focus on this aspect. Jesus is the light of the world that shines on the sins of man and mankind. Jesus is the light of the world that shines on the sins of men and mankind. That's one aspect of what our Lord does as he shines. In John chapter 3, familiar passage, it's outlined for us very clearly here about how it is. And in these passages, we'll see about the light, and we'll see about that, the light relative to sin. These are all passages that you know, but we just want to look at them together in this light, no pun intended. And the Lord's light shines upon the sins of men and mankind. In John chapter 3, our Lord has dealt with Nicodemus, and he's talked to him about many things. Visit here and the word of the Lord is wrapped up in these last three verses. We pick it up here in verse number 19. And this is the condemnation that is upon men, women, boys, and girls, that light has come into the world. And indeed, the light has come, hadn't it? Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Men don't love light. Men don't love the light of the Lord. Why? Because their deeds, what they do, were evil. And we can say are evil. sins against Lord, wickedness and depravity at work. Verse number 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Just don't want to get over there by the light of the Lord that shines. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Just won't do it. Won't do it. Why? Because the light shines, lest his deeds should be reproved. Jim, that's wrong. Jim, that's wicked. Jim, that's evil and sinful against your Creator. I use myself as an example, but it's the case for all and for man. Naturally, why don't we like the light? Why do men, women, boys, and girls hate the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that shines upon their sins? Because when the light shines, there's rebuke for sin. You've sinned against God and you're guilty. And you need some help with that, because it's as we know, and I trust we all know this, the scripture is very clear, sin equals death. And the light shining to reveal the things necessary and to ultimately show the way of peace, as we've read, peace with our Lord. But he that doeth truth, verse number 21, cometh to the light. Those that abide in the truth and desire the truth, those that are saved, those that have been saved by the light, they don't mind coming to the light. And they don't mind that their deeds, what they're doing, are shown forth by the light, because the Lord's working in them. It says that they are wrought in God. The Lord has visited the sinner and saved the sinner and working in the sinner. And so we see here that light, that the light shines. That shines the light on the sins of men indeed. In John chapter 1, familiar passage indeed. In verse number 1, let's read down through here and just touch on a couple things. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you and I need to hear the Word and believe the Word and trust the Lord and what He says. They're words of life indeed. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You've been made by the Lord. You're His creation. You belong to Him. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is life, and you know what? Because He is life, He shines. He shines to the truth. He shines and reveals the fault of man, the sin of man. He shines forth and shows the remedy for that fault and for that sin. He is the only way for you and I to live. It's by Him that we have physical life. The creation is talked about and mentioned there. And it's only by Him that we have spiritual life too. In Him was and is life indeed, and the life is the light of men. I think we can say that. John is talking about it from the standpoint of when Jesus came on in His ministry. But we know and understand and know of assuredly that the Lord is alive, and He is the light of men and the light of the world. Verse number 5, let's look here. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, that's another way the Lord spoke about it in John chapter 3, that the light came and men don't like light and go away from the light. Because you know what? That's the way it is with mankind. The light shines and we say, I know I don't like it, but I don't know what it is. Isn't that something? Isn't that the way that we are? I don't like that. I don't like that shining. I don't like that revealing what I'm doing. I don't like that revealing my heart. What in the world is that? That's the way it's comprehended not. The purpose of it, the reason for it, what the light shining, our Lord shining, does. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We read on, and there's a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. We see the name of our Lord mentioned here, that He is the light. That's one of His names, that all through Him might believe. It's only through Him will a man believe, because He's the light. He's the one that shows the need, brings conviction, shows Himself a Savior. He was not that light, speaking of John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You know what? We are sent as the Lord's children to bear witness of the light. The light of the Lord is within us and shines within us, and we're to shine, as we brought out in messages past, we're reflectors of that light. We're reflectors of the light of the Lord. We are not a light in and of ourselves. Moses was not radiant, didn't become radiant as he met there with the Lord on Horeb or Sinai for those days because of his own shining, but the shining of the Lord. The angels, I believe, are not glorious in their appearance and their shining because of themselves, because of the glory of the Lord, as we've looked at recently. A witness of that light, a shining of that light. Verse 9, that was the true light, the only light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If a man's going to be lighted, he's going to be lighted by the Lord. There's not any other light. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I didn't comprehend it. Yeah, the Creator came. And we and mankind just don't get it in and of ourselves. But as many as received him, there are those that do receive, there are those that hear, and there are those that believe. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Salvations of the Lord. Even to them that believe on his name, by faith our Lord is honored. We preached last Sunday, faith in Jesus is the substance. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. Because see, this is that we don't have it within ourselves. We don't have this capacity, ability, even the understanding to even know what we need in and of ourselves. It comes from the Lord in every way. And the Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwell among us. And we beheld his glory, John says. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, full of favor towards men, peace and goodwill towards men. Isn't that what the angels declared? And indeed it is. Salvation by our Lord and he personally bringing that to us, full of truth. Is there a need for the light to shine? Jesus has shown. That means that there is a need. If the Lord has done it, was there a need for the Savior to come? Indeed, there was. He came. Jesus doesn't do anything just because. But he did. He's done God Almighty and his plan and the Son becoming a man and coming as he has is all by necessity. We needed him. We need him to have done so. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. I've been telling you about this one, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. By my estimation, he should have been first on the lineup, not me. John saying, you would rather he get here before me, because he always has been before me, but the plan of the Lord was such that John be sent first. And of his fullness, John writes, John the Revelator, John the Apostle, and of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. Are you saved? That's describing you and me there. We've received of his fullness. We've got life in our Lord. We've got the light of the Lord. We see the truth about our sin. We see the truth about our need. We see our truth about the Savior and what he has graciously, with great favor and love, done for us. And he says, Jim, come on over here with me. I'll wash you. I'll cleanse you. I'll adopt you. I've made you my own. Oh, what a Savior. What a wonderful Lord. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, favor upon favor. As it's said often, with the Lord, it only gets better and better and better. That's the way it is. With the Lord, it only gets better, better, and better. Now listen, things in this life might be hard. Some have to walk a rocky road until they're taken out of this place. Indeed, we know that by many of the saints that have given their lives for the sake of the word and testimony of the Lord. But I tell you what, they had the Lord with them as they walked those rocky places and go those difficult trials. And then as we've been looking at and on Wednesday night, Brother Peter says, oh, what an entrance, what a glorious entrance. That the saints of the Lord are given before the Lord. Verse number 17, for the law was given by Moses, and it was pretty cold and it showed a terrible, painted a terrible, terrible picture about us. Necessary, but he says, but favor, grace, and truth came by Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord for the light shining on the sins of men. We come to chapter 15. We looked at chapter 15 last Sunday. And how we are to live, abide in our Lord. We want to visit again some verses here where the Lord shines and what he says regarding the sins of men. In John chapter 15, verse number 18, he says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Here the Lord is with the disciples somewhere between the upper room and Gethsemane as he walks along with them. He's going to be dead by this time tomorrow, and he is yet caring for the disciples, for the apostles, for the church that is there. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Know that. If you were of the world would love his own, and you wouldn't have any trouble. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You're mine. The world hates me, it'll hate you. Verse number 20, remember the word that I said unto you. There's that word again of the Lord, his words, that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. There'll be agreement, unity in the Lord. Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They hate the light. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. I was going to bring my overcoat. I've got a winter overcoat, and it's black, and it's really, really thick and heavy. And just to give an understanding about this of the cloak, you know, you might have in our day, our culture, for men, we might have a sport coat or a suit jacket like this, like I'm wearing today. And then we would have another coat that would go over top of that in real cold weather. I can't wear that thing unless it's like 20 or below in the teens. It's just so heavy. And the thing is, you know what it does? It keeps the guy warm. It keeps me very warm. When the wind blows, it can't get through. And you know what's, and we don't really think about this, but you know what on the inside here, when I've got that on, I've got it all buttoned up, maybe got the scarf around my neck and everything, you know what it is inside? It's warm, but it's dark. It's dark. It blocks out all the light. You hold that thing up to the light, you can hold that thing up to the sun, and the sun would not come through it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if I hadn't come and talked to them, and essentially talked to us, to the world, our sin would not have been revealed. But the Lord says, I've taken the cloak off of their sin. I've removed the covering that they like to cover up their sin with. Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, scribes, he says, you are like whited sepulchers. See, he got down to the nitty gritty. He talked about what was on the inside. There's no hiding it from the Lord. The light shines that deep. And he has removed the cloak for sin. Verse number 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. It wouldn't have been revealed as I have revealed it. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And we've talked about that last Sunday. All that the Lord has did, this grace for grace and truth and the mercy of the Lord. Is there any reason to hate Jesus? Is there any reason to hate the Lord? There's not one, not at all. He gives us physical life. He gives us provision, rain from heaven, food to eat and clothes to wear and provision and life and everything. And then he gives eternal life to sinners that will repent of their sins and trust in him. He saves souls. Is there any cause to hate the Lord? He's the creator and a wonderful creator from the beginning. He didn't make us in the image of something else, but he made us in the image and likeness of himself. He was not stingy about that in any way, was he? No, he's so, so good. They've hated me without a cause, verse 26. But when the Comforter has come, a promise to the Lord's church, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. The focus is upon the Lord Jesus. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So the light that shines, Jesus is that light that shines on the sins of men. We come to the next chapter, in chapter 16. A couple things here that we just want to touch on. Is this, the Lord says, this is going to be an ongoing thing. The Lord coming and taking the cloak off of sin, shining the light on the sins of men, is not going to be something that is to fade away in the time of that past, and men will just go back, mankind will just go back to the way that it was. Okay? In the Lord's church, he's made a provision that his light shining, revealing the sins of men, will be ongoing. Look at this in verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit worker of the Comforter, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. See, Jesus coming in the flesh is a very testament to the existence of our sin, our sins against God Almighty. He coming in the flesh was necessitated by mankind being sinners and his people being sinners, and there need to be a remedy for their sins. Otherwise, the Lord just wouldn't have done that just for fun, but it was necessary. Now, in the church, that living organism, that living body that the Lord put together and created and built in the day of his ministry, is going to go ahead and continue on with that same message. Because I've said it before, and I pray that that the picture is understood. You know, you didn't turn on the radio to the Holy Spirit channel at any time, and the Spirit of God speaking. You're sinners, and you need a Savior. You've sinned against God. You don't hear the Holy Spirit going up and down the highways and byways of Logan County, a community of Olmsted, or over at Bowling Green, or Rockfield, or Clarksville, wherever it is you live, Elkton, the different place. And there's a day, you know, it's the first Tuesday of the month. Let's open up the door that we might hear the Spirit of God going down the street and what he has to say. Doesn't work that way, does it? But the Holy Spirit of God, the work of the Comfort in his church, by the power of God and the moving of the Spirit of God, by his churches and his men and his people, declare the truth about what God has said. He's going to reprove the world, warn the world about sin. And you know how it's done? Well, for us, it's done right here at Olmsted Baptist Church. We do so in the services. We do so in the Sunday school lessons. We do so in the Sunday school classes, in VBS, in our special meetings, in articles that we publish, in radio broadcasts that we have. We tell the world that sin is our problem, because God has said that sin is our problem. Because you know why? The light needs to shine on sin. There's a whole world of gospel, different gospels that are preached about giving one's heart to Jesus, about turning over a new leaf to the Lord, about giving your life to the Lord. All kinds of just subtle, kicked off by 2 degrees kind of gospels that are preached. And there's a total ignorance and a total not understanding of the necessity for sinners to repent of their sins before God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You find it very rare that repentance is preached anymore. And if there ever could be such a thing, that's the reason I'm bent to preaching and telling about it so much, because there is such a little voice about repentance by sinners of their sins before God. You know what? The light needs to shine on it, and we're called to do so. Jesus is that light. Jesus is the light of the world that shines on the sins of men. But you know what? When we take a look at sin, we take a look at what the light reveals, it's ugly, isn't it? It's just ugly. We can go to scriptures and look at all kinds of things about what the Lord tells us in his word, how bad sin is. James tells us that sin brings death. That's the reason you and I die. That's the reason your loved one that you care for so much and that you have such good times with eventually will die and goes away. And it's heartbreaking. That heartbreak is brought because of sin. They die. People are gravely ill. We've got a whole number of people on our prayer list, and they're just terribly, terribly ill. Some things that are just bad things, diseases and that destroy and just cancers and all those different things that come. It's all because of sin. It's all because of sin. And it's just an ugly picture. But you know what? The Lord doesn't stop there. The light as it shines to reveal mankind's sins, men, women, boys, and girls' sins, as it shines, it also shines to reveal the remedy for that. You know, the very one shining is the remedy. As we sang the song, the light of the world is Jesus. And I'm glad that we had that opportunity to sing that. Come to the light, to shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. I'm telling you that you can trust the Lord. You can come to the light and He will deliver. He will bless. He's good. The very one that reveals the sin is the one in whom is the answer. You know, there's hope for men, women, boys, and girls that they know they are guilty sinners before God. There's hope and help. Matthew chapter 9, the very words of our Lord. Let's take a look over here, a few verses. Matthew chapter 9. Verse number 13, Jesus says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. The fault of the Lord here by the Pharisees is that he's eaten with publicans and sinners. Tax collectors that have sold out on their nation and Jews that have sold out on their nation to collect taxes for Rome. Despised of the people. And those that are accounted sinners and the low of the classes of the people, Jesus would go and eat with them. And they quarreled with him. They asked his disciples in verse 11, why does he do that? Why does he go eat with them, publicans and sinners? Jesus said, but when he heard that, he said unto them, verse 12, they that are behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said that they need me. The righteous don't need me. I was reading the account there in John chapter 8 about the woman that was taken in adultery in the very act. There's no doubt that that was the case, but they didn't bring the man. They all cleared out of there, and there was nobody to accuse her anymore. And the Lord Jesus said, woman, where's thine accusers? And hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. He said, well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. She needed to know that she was guilty, and I believe she did. And then the Lord said, don't go do that anymore, because it is wrong. It is wicked. He saved her. I believe that she was saved. She calls him Lord there in that passage. So he shines the truth about it. I think what our Lord was writing on the ground there was the law and how those fellows that had brought that woman had missed it. You know this about our Lord Jesus Christ saying that he's not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. You can look, and you that are taking notes, you write it down and probably even know this. You know, it's reiterated in Mark chapter 2, verse number 17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Again, it's reinforced in Luke chapter 5, verse 32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The light needs to shine that sinners can see their sins against God. And the light needs to shine that sinners might see the Savior. He's the answer. He reveals it, but he's the answer, and there is help and hope indeed. In conclusion, in Romans chapter 3, we just want to take a look over here and just peruse through a couple of passages about this of our Lord shining the light upon the sins of men and mankind. In Romans chapter 21, a hallmark passage is contained here, and I just don't think that we do it justice just by reading that passage. It is true, and it can stand alone, but there's more to the sentence, okay? And I think that that's what's appropriate. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 21, we read, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, shown forth, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." You cannot be saved by keeping the law, but the law does show you you need to be saved, and you've got guilt before the Lord. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference." See, Christ was faithful to come and perform what was necessary for the remedy to be provided. And you and I, as sinners, we can trust and should trust and are called to trust, commanded to trust, upon the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. And you can believe him that he did. "All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." Is it really that good, Brother Jim? Can it really do? Yeah. Yeah, indeed. He says here, there's no difference. "For all have sinned," verse 23, "and come short of the glory of God." All means you and me. "Yet my sins have nothing to do with yours, and yours have nothing to do with mine." We've got our sins before our Lord, and we need help with them. Verse number 24, "being justified freely by his grace," his favor, "through the redemption, the buying back that is in Christ Jesus." He's the one that pays the debt. He's the one that shines the light, tells the truth, and is the remedy. Verse 25, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation." That word propitiation, you and I don't go around using that at work anymore or in our homes anymore. That word propitiation means you and I should have hung on that cross, on our own individual crosses. It would have availed nothing, just the finalization of sin killing us. But you and I should have hung on that cross. You know what? Jesus did. You and I should have been scourged, but Jesus did. It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ and his power and his ability to do that in a substitutionary way for the sinner. Propitiation. He has stood in the gap. You know what? He had the power to be able to bear it. "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past." Jesus' obedience to the law. Be able to be brought down here and put on me here in this time. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. There's nothing better. "Through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him that would which believeth in Christ." See, if you don't have the righteousness of Christ, you have nothing. Because without the righteousness of Christ, no sinner can be justified. Justified, made just as if we've never sinned. I have sinned against God, but in the eyes of God, because of Christ, he looks on at me and looks upon me, you that are saved, as if you've never sinned. Wow. See, it's not just, I'm going to let you off the hook and I'm never going to forget it. That's a tendency the way mankind works, isn't it? I'm going to let you off the hook. I'm going to let it pass. You're going to owe me. We do owe our Lord indeed. We can never pay. He knows that. It's free. But our Lord indeed, he forgives, and indeed he forgets. He makes us just as if we've never sinned. Now, Brother Jim, I thought the Lord is all-powerful and all-knowing. Yeah, he is. I don't know how he does that. But what he does is as good as that. And he adopts us and makes us even his own children. "Declare, I say," verse 26, "at this time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Where's boasting then? It is excluded, isn't it? Well, we can't brag on ourselves. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. Faith in him. "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith in Jesus without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. He is our God and the one that brings salvation, shines the light on these things. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Because see, the light needs to shine. We're sinners. We need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the one. In Romans chapter 5, we see another verse here and things related to it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's look over here in verse number 12 of Romans chapter 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, that is Adam, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's the way that it is. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Sin had its effect, but that of sin against God Almighty was not understood by men. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. See, that's how bad sin is. You and I didn't have to understand it before we came subject to it. Sin made us subject to it and subject to death. That's how bad it is. It subjected even those little tender babies that are innocent, we say. Yeah, that's how bad sin is. One man's sin against God did that to us all. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more the grace of God, the favor of the Lord, by the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. He is able to save many. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So much we could talk about there. Adam's one sin did this to us. And then the multitude of sins that existed were without number, if you will. But you know what? Jesus, by his power, being God, becoming a man, is able to wash them all away. One sin got it all kicked off, and it was a terrible, terrible thing indeed. In effect, has affected billions, and has been an affront to God Almighty by the, no doubt, trillions and beyond of transgression against him. The earlier passage talked about forbearance of God. Oh, mighty is the forbearance of God. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, favor from the Lord, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life of one, Jesus Christ. We live by him. We're forgiven by him. It's paid by him. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, which we've talked about, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace, the favor of the Lord, did much more abound. That as the sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The light needed to shine that you and I, that we see that. In John chapter 8, we'll close. In John chapter 8, our Lord Jesus is dealing with some folks here in Jerusalem, in the temple. Again, this crowd is looking to catch the Lord. This account of the woman taken in adultery is mentioned here early in the chapter. But in regard to this about the light shining, Jesus is the light of the world that shines on the sins of men and mankind. Listen to what Jesus says as he deals with this of sin and the light. In John chapter 8, verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, over there in darkness is where sin abounds. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the light. And you know, that's a blessing that we have from our Lord in being saved, is it's revealed unto us that we can have understanding what sin against God is. Before the light shines, we are found, and it's the scripture makes it clear, we are ignorant. We just don't know what sin against God is. It's a blessing to know what transgressing against God is. That way we can stay away from it. He goes on down here, they tell him about his record. He's just so low, they say. And the Lord tells with them about that. He says he bears record. He said the law says two witnesses. He said, I'm a witness. The Father's a witness. Then now this thing about comes up, verse 19, about his father and what he's claiming about the father. And he says, you don't know me. You don't know my father. He's speaking, verse number 20, there in the treasury as he teaches. And they were vehement. John makes this interjection in verse 20 that they were so hot at him that they would have taken him, but his hour wasn't come at one time. Verse number 21, listen to this. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. I'm going a place, and you can't come. And you're going to die in your sins because you can't come there with me. Now, that's not to say, we know this to be the truth, Jesus can bring sinners with him. But you and I can't go there on our own. We need him. And so what's he say? You being separated from me, you being divided from me, you will die in your sins. The counter is implied and understood that with the Lord, we will not die in our sins. I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. The Jews think he's talking about suicide because they're just blind to it all. Verse 23, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I'm from above. You are of the world, I am not of this world. John 3 speaks about that. The Lord tells about that. I said, therefore, unto you, verse 24, that ye shall die in your sins, because if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. You need the Lord. We need the light. And we come on down through here. He talks about judgment. He talks about his crucifixion. He talks about him not being alone, but the Father with him. And he talks about to these that are there that believe on him in verse number 30. He said, oh, great, if you believe on me and you continue in my word, it'll be proved that you're my disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They're immediately offended and say, we've not been in bondage to anybody. We're free. We're Abraham's children. They take offense to that. Verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You know, the light needed to shine on that. Sinners that follow after sin are the servant of sin, and they're bound up by sin. We needed the light shined on that. Because we, being wrapped up in sin and naturally and just loving sin and hating the light and loving darkness where sin abounds, the committer of sin is the servant of sin. Indeed, the Lord shows and reveals that mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, being the servant of sin, are bound up by it and don't even know it. We're captive and we don't even know. We think we're greatly independent, but we're bound up by it. Verse number 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. See the distinction there? Servants don't live forever, but the son does. He abides forever. Just like what he said here, I go my way. Verse 21, you shall seek me and die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Verse 24, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Separation from the Lord. He says in verse number 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. You need the Lord. Need the Lord. Need rid of that sin. And need the Lord. Jesus is the only one that convicts men of their sins. Verse number 46, we come on down through here, and he talks about them not being Abraham's children because they don't hear the word of the Lord. They don't love the Lord. Verse number 42, and only the Lord can do this. He tells them that they're of their father, the devil. And then listen to this. Verse number 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. They hate him without a cause. He's telling the truth. He's telling what's needed. And they hate him. Verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? This word convince is also translated in our King James translation as convict. Here, they're making the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light, the truth, the Savior, God Almighty come in the flesh. They're taking their finger and pointing it at him as what mankind does. It says, you're the problem. Isn't that something? Isn't that something what mankind does? We point our finger at God saying, you're the problem. When it's us that's the problem. When we are the problem. And Lord asks plainly, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? See, our Lord has come to convict us of our sins before God. We do not convict or convince him. He is sinless. But praise be to God, he convinces and convicts us of our sin. Jesus is the light of the world that shines on the sin of men and mankind.